1590 AM Denmark, W250 CV Green Bay,
and always streaming on the Civic Media app.
ABC News, I'm Inez de la Quatera. Florida Republican Governor Ron DeSantis made his presidential campaign official in a social media announcement delayed by technical problems.
Thank you for putting up with these technical issues. I think we're definitely breaking new ground here.
DeSantis in a Twitter chat with Elon Musk, but the audio stream crashed repeatedly until finally DeSantis was able to lay out his vision for America.
American decline is not inevitable. It is a choice. And we should choose a new direction, a path that will lead to American revitalization.
DeSantis's chief rival, former President Trump, called his announcement a disaster. Still no deal on raising the federal debt ceiling. Congressional Republicans are demanding spending cuts in any agreement. Lawmakers are going on their Memorial Day holiday break, but have been told to return to Washington within 24 hours if a deal is struck. And remembering Tina Turner, tributes from Beyonce to former President Obama to Oprah, honoring the singing legend. Turner was 83. This is ABC News. The island of Guam coming out of the other side of a monster typhoon, packing 140-mile-per-hour winds. But the governor, Luis Leon Guerrero, saying,
"We are going to continue experiencing tropical storm winds up to about 40, 50 miles per hour. So I ask you again to please stay home for your protection and your safety."
Power has been knocked out to virtually the entire island. An artificial intelligence being put to work to help a paralyzed man walk again.
Kertjan Uskum was in a motorcycle crash in 2011. A year ago, scientists in Switzerland placing electronic implants in areas of his brain and spinal cord that control movement. Researchers building what they call a digital bridge, bypassing the injured areas of his body, essentially putting his thoughts into action.
I could control my hips. The brain implant picked up what I was doing with my hips.
The 40-year-old has been able to stand, walk, and even climb stairs.
That's ABC's Will Reeve. Inez de la Quatera, ABC News.
Adopt US Kids presents What to Expect When You're Expecting a Teenager. Learning the Lingo.
GOAT, G-O-A-T, acronym, stands for Greatest of All Time. As in, spaghetti sandwiches for dinner? They're my fave. Dad, you're the GOAT.
You don't have to speak teen to be a perfect parent. Thousands of teens in foster care will love you just the same. Visit AdoptUSKids.org. Brought to you by the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services, Adopt U.S. Kids, and the Ad Council.
The Talk of Green Bay, 1590 AM and 97.9 FM WGBW programming is broadcast from the Bug Tussle Studios.
Bug Tussle, keeping you connected to the world around you.
Radio keeps your community informed, entertained, and connected. It's what we're all about at the Civic Media Network of local radio stations.
We're having fun and moving fast to preserve hometown radio across Wisconsin.
This includes a commitment to news.
Now we want to invite you to join Civic Media's exclusive Facebook group, Wisconsin Breaking News. It's a place to share your community's news and chat with others from across the state about it.
Join the Facebook group, Wisconsin Breaking News, today. It's the perfect companion to your local Civic Media radio station.
Talking to your kids about the dangers of vaping can be hard. Getting them to listen to hot gossip is easy. So here's some drama you could share with your kid. Dude, did you hear about Cassie and Jake? No, but did you hear that vaping can cause irreversible lung damage and nicotine affects brain development? Nuh-uh. You don't need to gossip if you want to have an open conversation about vaping. So if you want to get tips on when and how to talk to your kids, visit talkaboutvaping.org. Brought to you by the American Lung Association and the Ad Council.
You know him as the nose tackle for the green and gold.
1993 to 1999, and again 2001 to 2003.
125 games, 292 tackles, 7 sacks, and a Super Bowl ring. But there's more to life than stats, and there's more to life than football.
You're about to find out.
Under the Helmet with the Gravedigger, featuring Packers legend Gilbert Brown.
Monday mornings at 8 on WISS and WGBW and on the Civic Media app.
Hi, we're the Goo Goo Dolls. We're fortunate that our daughters have what they need to grow and learn. But that isn't the case for nearly 13 million kids in the U.S. that struggle with hunger.
Childhood hunger is a heartbreaking reality that Feeding America is working to change. Each year, the Feeding America network of food banks rescues billions of pounds of good food that would have gone to waste and provides it to families and children in need.
You can help kids in need in your community by visiting feedingamerica.org.
Brought to you by Feeding America and the Ad Council.
Ready for our little forest adventure?
Yes! up so much waiting for me. Yeah, I wanna go outside, I wanna be.
We're here.
Whoa, that was fast.
There's a forest closer than you think. Find a park or forest near you and music inspired by nature at discovertheforest.org. Brought to you by USDA Forest Service and the Ad Council.
My name is Teresa Barber. I was in the United States Navy and I served overseas in the Middle East and Africa. Early on in my career, I had a commander that taught our suicide prevention training, and the very next day he took his own life. 90% of suicide attempts involving a gun are fatal. My way of continuing my service is to help protect my community by being a responsible gun owner and by storing firearms safely. Store all your guns securely. Help stop suicide.
Brought to you by End Family Fire and the Ad Council.
Moving Day, a walk for Parkinson's, is happening around the country. Together we can unite in the fight against Parkinson's disease in a safe but exciting and fun way. So let's get moving. Join the Parkinson's Foundation to learn more and register at movingdaywalk.org.
All across Wisconsin from Civic Media, this is Up North News Radio. Real information, good conversation. Unabashedly Wisconsin. Here's the founding editor of Up North News, Pat Kreitlow.
Well, hey there, Wisconsin. Good morning. Welcome to the state of Wisconsin Sense from the shores of Lake Wissota, where it's another beautiful day up north. It is Thursday, May the 25th. And it is 48 degrees up here on the lake, 44 in Wausau, 47 in Wisconsin Rapids, 51 in Madison, 40 up in Merrill, 38 in Hayward this morning, and 40 degrees in Manitowoc. Coming up on the program this morning, Florida man has disastrous launch of presidential campaign. That, of course, would be Ron Disaster. And look, if there's a presidential campaign hall of shame, you've got Jeb, with the exclamation point, Jeb Bush muttering, please clap. You've got Scott Walker and his 71-day mark for the shortest flame out of a presidential campaign. And now you can add what happened to Ron DeSantis on Twitter Spaces yesterday. We'll talk about that. We'll also mark the passing of singing legend Tina Turner. We will have Joe Zepecki here to review the progress, if that's what you would call it, being made by Republicans working on a new state budget. Then in our second hour, it's Hometown Health. It's Thursday morning. Dr. Kristen Lyerly will be here. And in the segment, organ donation is being encouraged by someone who donated one of her organs while still very much with us. And she will discuss what led her to benefit, what led her to provide such a precious gift of a kidney so that someone else's life could benefit. All along the way on this Thursday, May 25th, if you have any questions or comments about what we're doing, what we're up to, what your plans are for the Memorial Day weekend, the phone line, as always, is 844-967-2789. You can email us, radio@upnorthnewswi.com. If you're watching us, the live video feed on Facebook, you can also check the progress of the lava lamp back there. See if by the time our show is done, we start getting something bubbly. And Aaron Zommers is here as well. I initially was going to have you up earlier. Then I see I didn't add you to the video stream there. My apologies when I was talking about it being, what did I say it was in Manitowoc? 40 degrees. How are you this morning?
I am warmer than 40 degrees. But yeah. Doing pretty well. I'm still trying to wrap my head around exactly what happened on Twitter yesterday, since I was attempting to listen to it.
Attempting to listen is what everybody was, you know, who wanted to tune in, journalists and those who are curious, and got a lot of silence and a lot of glitches, and we'll play a little bit of that in just a bit. So, yeah, we're all having a better day than what they had yesterday, and that says a lot for me. Given that, you know, by Thursdays, I start to get a little tired. You know, the work week is getting on. Wednesday, I always work especially late, the way that my work schedule is set up. And I was about halfway through, you know, making up some eggs and sausage for breakfast when I looked over at the coffee pot and realized I'd put in the water and started it, but forgot to add, you know, a filter and some coffee. So I had a lovely a pot of hot water that I was brewing up there. Yeah. Eventually, we got it done. I was a couple of minutes late here to the desk to fill up the old Up North News coffee mug, but, you know, could have been worse. I did not set the house on fire, and that's always a victory at my age, right?
Oh, definitely.
All right. So, let's see. We've got a Brewers game to tell you about. The Brewers are in the midst of a homestand here, and, I mean, talk about team streak. You know, some days they're losing, you know, 12-0 or 18-1 or something, and now they've pulled out a couple of back-to-back shutouts. So you never know who's going to step up, and we'll tell you who stepped up yesterday as the Brewers finished a three-game series against the Houston Astros, and now today begin a four-game series against the San Francisco Giants. I was, I'm hoping the internet police aren't listening right now, because I was telling Aaron, one of the things that made my workday longer yesterday was trying to play around with some music clips here. Now, the thing is, a radio station, you know, has a license, so we can basically play whatever music we want, as opposed to, say, podcasters. They quickly realize that, since they didn't purchase the very expensive music license, if they try to put their podcast up on the internet, on Facebook and whatnot, it often gets taken down for copyright reasons. Well, so the radio station can do that, but I'm not at the radio station. So I'm trying to figure out ways to get, you know, the music. You hear us playing bumper music all the time, maybe a Tina Turner clip or something like that. There used to be workarounds where you could, you know, download music from this service or that service and then convert it to just your standard MP3 and be able to play with it. And Aaron, apparently the consensus is the internet police are getting better and better all the time at preventing that kind of thing. So it's like I'm going to have to go to the radio station and pull the old vinyl albums off the shelf and put them on a turntable if I'm going to want to play with some music here.
I wish we had those, but it'd be interesting. Something to play around with every once in a while. But yeah, they just want you to stream because they make more money.
Yeah, there's less downloading all the time. And in fact, one more quick thing. I thought one workaround would be YouTube Premium, because it said, you know, you could have all these downloads. They're not actually downloads. You can't look in your hard drive and see that the song is there. They just mean it's downloaded to your YouTube account for you to play.
Anytime. That's lame. I didn't know that.
So that was the shortest length of time on YouTube Premium. I signed up for it, and within 5 minutes, I was right back off of it. So there's no way this boy's credit card is being charged for that kind of experiment. All right, so enough experimentation in digital music. We will get to headlines, sports, Tina Turner's passing, Ron DeSantis's very bad day, and much more, including a fake elector's lawsuit in Wisconsin, all coming up on Up North News Radio for a Thursday.
Did you know Broadfest, the annual Memorial Day weekend event in Madison, is 40 years old? Its history is pretty rich, too, when the grocery store-owning Metcalf family set up a bra tent in the store parking lot to sell brats to customers. By 2004, more than 180,000 brats were being sold in the parking lot. Okay, so now can you guess how many gallons of ketchup are needed for the brats every year? 30 gallons? 45? 74 gallons? The answer coming up. These days, the fest isn't just about the brats.
You know, we have a kid zone, we have a farm zone, we have a sports zone, just not really like anything else.
That's Michael Alexander, one of the organizers.
Roughly 150,000 of our closest and dearest friends.
And more numbers, 4 million brats over 40 years, raising $2.5 million, supporting more than 120 nonprofits. And the amount of ketchup used, 74 gallons. I'm Terry Barr for the Civic Media Radio Network.
If you love them enough to listen to them practice the same song on tuba,
please be done.
Over and over and over and over and over. Then surely you'll check nhtsa.gov/the right seat to make sure they're correctly buckled in the back seat.
Sounds good, honey.
Check today at nhtsa.gov/the right seat. Brought to you by the National Highway Traffic Safety Administration and the Ad Council.
People won't give you the real talk on drugs, but it's time we know the facts. Fentanyl is killing people. It's a powerful opioid, often made illegally and commonly mixed with illicit drugs. It can even be pressed into counterfeit pills that resemble prescription medications. Just 2 milligrams, about the size of a few grains of sand, can potentially be lethal. This isn't an ad to scare you, but it is an ad to make you think twice. Get the facts. Go to realdealonfentanyl.com. This message is brought to you by the Ad Council.
Have more to say about Tina Turner in just a moment. First, sports at 6:15. Adrian Hauser sure knows how to peak at just the right time to help out a decimated Milwaukee Brewers pitching staff. Last week, Hauser pitched 6 shutout innings in Tampa Bay, and yesterday against the Houston Astros at American Family Field, he again took a shutout into the 6th, and the bullpen did its part. And then 3 Brewers home runs did the rest of the work as Milwaukee beat Houston yesterday afternoon 4-0. Now, remember, this is a pitching staff that is dealing with shoulder injuries to Eric Lauer, Wade Miley, Aaron Ashby, and 2-time All-Star Brandon Woodruff. Willie Adames hit a 2-run home run in the 1st inning. Owen Miller and Brian Anderson each added solo home runs in the 7th. Brian Anderson, the play-by-play announcer, not the player, had a great call of Brian Anderson's home run because it sailed into the bullpen in right field and clanged right into one of these big metal coffee pots, you know, one of the big industrial size ones, clanged right into it. Of course, Brian Anderson quoting the line from Glengarry Glenn Ross, he yells, "Coffee is for closers," as Anderson circled the bases. So the Brewers actually took 2 out of 3 from the Astros after that really embarrassing loss on Monday. They came back and got back-to-back shutouts on Tuesday and Wednesday. Now the San Francisco Giants come to town for a 4-game series starting tonight, then again Friday night, then Saturday and Sunday afternoons, and that'll wrap up that homestand. And then the Brewers will be back on the road to Toronto and Cincinnati. You can catch the Brewers, by the way, on WRCE News from the Center, 107.7 and 1450 AM, and Oshkosh Air Support, 98.3 and 1100 AM. Aaron, we forgot to mention this yesterday in sports. Did you hear about how Aaron Rodgers didn't even make it through the first warm-ups in New York?
I did not hear that, but that is embarrassing.
Yes, get your sad trombone ready again over there. So Aaron Rodgers never made it past warm-ups in his first New York Jets practice in front of the media. The 39-year-old strained a calf while participating in drills on Tuesday. Rodgers stayed on the field for the rest of practice, but as an observer, no helmet, and he threw no passes. Our apologies to Aaron Rodgers. We're not going to dwell on it every time, but you know, it's there. It's got to be mentioned. A trial date has been set in the lawsuit against the fake Trump electors in the 2020 election. A Dane County judge on Wednesday set the trial to begin. And I understand the courts are clogged. I really do. But when I heard that the trial was set to begin September 3rd of 2024, that means the trial is going to happen just a couple of months before the 2024 presidential election, which means that over the next 16 months, we're going to hear about all the legal filings, you know, back and forth, starting almost certainly with motions to dismiss the case coming from the fraudulent electors and 2 of former President Donald Trump's attorneys who are the target of the lawsuit, which was filed by a couple of, you know, actual electors who want, they're asking for nearly $2.5 million in damages from the fraudulent slate. And those people who, knowingly or not, were part of Trump's attempted coup to steal an election that he did not win. And so the lawsuit was given a green light last week that it could go forward. It could go forward in Dane County Court. But now, again, because of, you know, the time that it takes to put together this case and courts themselves, it will be September of 2024 before we get to find out if that lawsuit is successful. Whether Ron DeSantis will be on the ballot in November of 2024 remains to be seen. And if he is, it will be quite an overcoming of the obstacle that he had when he launched the campaign. I mean, imagine, as others have said, imagine if Donald Trump coming down that golden escalator and the escalator just stopped and then started and then stopped again and then just kind of jolted him a little bit. That's essentially what Twitter Spaces did to the Florida governor and to Elon Musk, the billionaire who bought Twitter and then drove it into the ground. The platform is glitchy, would be putting it charitably. And yet DeSantis somehow thought it was a good idea to go on Twitter Spaces, which is Twitter's audio-only platform, and launch his presidential campaign there. And so here's about 30 seconds worth of Elon Musk trying to, you know, explain to Governor DeSantis why the servers are crashing and why there's feedback and, you know, just what all is going on. So just give a listen for a little bit here.
This, like the Simpsons delay. All right, we're just reallocating more server capability to be able to handle the load here. It's really going crazy. So, I'm obviously very excited to have Governor DeSantis make this. All right, well, it's certainly an incredible honor to have Governor DeSantis make this stark announcement.
And that's then what played for a little while after that. So Aaron, you were not alone. I'm sure you thought maybe you had a bad connection or something. It wasn't just you.
Oh no, I completely assumed it was on their end, and I was correct. And I think one thing to point out that you can't hear, since we're listening to it in that little gap there before he starts over talking, there was like a minute of silence.
Yes.
And when they had to end the first space and start a second one, but they kept the recording of the first one up. So it's like 21 minutes, of which probably about 20 and a half are silent.
Wow. Yeah, seriously, that's Jeb Bush, please clap territory that we're getting into right there. So look, again, there's a long ways to go in campaigns, but there's a lot to be said about first impressions or early impressions. Otherwise, we'd be talking about President Howard Dean, you know, and we're not, because things happen during campaigns, and it's not like Ron DeSantis is going to bring this up, but everybody else is, and they're going to repeatedly. Back to the state level for just a moment. Senate Democratic leader Melissa Agard is continuing her grassroots tour of Wisconsin with a stop in Eau Claire this afternoon. You will recall that we talked to Senator Agard last week about her tour, where she discusses the current landscape of cannabis policy in Wisconsin, has a presentation on legalization efforts, both nationally and in the state, and then Q&A from the audience, and is doing this in a way that she says that legalizing cannabis can bolster Wisconsin businesses, it can honor personal liberties, it can promote criminal justice reform, and perhaps most importantly for some of us, it can bring revenue back into the state that is currently flooding across our borders into neighboring states. Keep in mind that along with Illinois and Michigan, Minnesota just voted for full legalization of marijuana. So traffic will be flowing in that direction and money will be flowing in that direction as well. So Senator Agard is stopping in Eau Claire this afternoon, 4:30 at the Ellie Phillips Memorial Public Library in downtown Eau Claire. And then next Thursday, June 1st, she'll be in Wausau at the Marathon County Public Library, again, starting at 4:30. And as Senator Agard told us, the people who have been reaching out about this, these are not people defined by party affiliation or geography or demographics, age, race, gender. It is a broad coalition of support for this that she's seen. And so when you have some Republican legislators trying to paint it as a Democratic-only initiative and talking about, you know, the Democrats being just a bunch of pot-smoking hippies, you see the disconnect again, that they fail to appreciate how many of their fellow Republicans or conservatives or libertarians know that that this is long overdue to be done, to be regulated, to be taxed, to be, you know, monitored safely and properly. And that's what part of what Senator Agard will be talking about. I mentioned that the Up North newsletter comes out every morning at 5 a.m. And there's a bit of a theme from Christina Lori in today's newsletter. It is National Wine Day. We talked about that on the Uplift day before yesterday. And so there is more in the newsletter about the five most popular wines that are that we're drinking in Wisconsin. Also, did you know Wisconsin is home to more than 100 wineries with more than 800 acres of grapes? And so she'll talk more about that and some other things. So a bit of a theme in the newsletter, not so much on a lot of news updates in today's newsletter, though she does note that the new Little Mermaid movie is going to be hitting theaters tomorrow, and that their director, Rob Marshall Jr., has a Madison connection. He's perhaps best known for, he's the Academy Award-winning director of the movie Chicago from 2002, the musical, and a couple of other stories in there as well. So sign up for that at upnorthnewswi.com. And if you go to upnorthnewswi.com, among the stories that you will be seeing includes one about how abortion bans that have been passed post-repeal of Roe v. Wade have already led to devastating outcomes for women, according to a new study. So you can read more about that. And there's an article from Christina, who also talked about this on the radio, about Wisconsin's safest cities statistically, and find out where yours ranks on the list of safe communities in Wisconsin, of which we have so many. Let me spend the final couple of minutes here in this segment just sharing the words of others about Tina Turner, because there are some incredible writers. I've said before that there are a few people I admire more for their writing ability than music writers, because you have to take this auditory experience and turn it into words. William Grimes, for example, writes in the New York Times, "Tina Turner, the earth-shaking singer whose rasping vocals, sexual magnetism, and explosive energy made her an unforgettable live performer and one of the most successful recording artists of all time, died Wednesday at her home near Zurich, Switzerland. She was 83 years old." Talks about her half century of music, a career that started in the late 1950s. To put it mildly, volatile relationship with Ike Turner, who became terribly abusive, their split, her ability to rise above it as a solo artist, how later, as Grimes writes, Turner insisted on adding rock songs by the Beatles and the Rolling Stones to her repertoire to reach an enormous new audience. She won the Grammy Award for Best R&B Vocal Performance in 1971 with Proud Mary. In the context of show business, wrote one critic back in 1969, "Tina Turner must be the most sensational professional on stage. She comes on like a hurricane. She dances and twists and shakes and sings, and the impact is instant and total." And again, then she had this solo career with hits that were going to be playing throughout the morning. She had amazing self-awareness of her talent, of her ability to rise above and to not lose sight of her humanity in the process, while always, always showcasing what made her so special. Tina Turner, great ride, will be missed nonetheless after a long life well lived at the age of 83. All right, coming up next, Kia Vikil will take us around news from the state capitol next. You're up north.
News and talk up, down, and all around the Fox Valley. This is Civic Media.
ABC News, I'm Inez de la Quatera. Florida Republican Governor Ron DeSantis made his presidential campaign official in a social media announcement delayed by technical problems.
Thank you for putting up with these technical issues. I think we're definitely breaking new ground here.
DeSantis in a Twitter chat with Elon Musk, but the audio stream crashed repeatedly until finally DeSantis was able to lay out his vision for America.
American decline is not inevitable. It is a choice, and we should choose a new direction, a path that will lead to American revitalization.
DeSantis's chief rival, former President Trump, called his announcement a disaster. Still no deal on raising the federal debt ceiling. Congressional Republicans are demanding spending cuts in any agreement. Lawmakers are going on their Memorial Day holiday break, but have been told to return to Washington within 24 hours if a deal is struck. And remembering Tina Turner, tributes from Beyonce to former President Obama to Oprah, honoring the singing legend. Turner was 83. This is ABC News.
Boat Hustle is building out the best fiber network in rural Wisconsin to deliver ultra-fast fiber internet where others can't or won't. Based in Wisconsin and backed by local support, Boat Hustle is bringing fiber internet services to your area at an honest price without any contracts or data caps. Call 877-227-0924. That's 877-227-0924. Or visit btussle.com and get connected with Boat Hustle today for internet, cellular, and entertainment.
Did you know Broadfest, the annual Memorial Day weekend event in Madison, is 40 years old? Its history is pretty rich, too, when the grocery store-owning Metcalf family set up a brat tent in the store parking lot to sell brats to customers. By 2004, more than 180,000 brats were being sold in the parking lot. Okay, so now can you guess how many gallons of ketchup are needed for the brats every year? 30 gallons? 45? 74 gallons? The answer coming up. These days, the fest isn't just about the brats.
You know, we have a kid zone, we have a farm zone, we have a sports zone, just not really like anything else.
That's Michael Alexander, one of the organizers.
Roughly 150,000 of our closest and dearest friends.
And more numbers. 4 million brats over 40 years, raising $2.5 million, supporting more than 120 nonprofits. And the amount of ketchup used? 74 gallons. I'm Terry Barr for the Civic Media Radio Network.
I'm Smokey Bear, and I made an assistant to help you out, because only you can prevent wildfires.
Hey, Assistant Smokey Bear, call me Papa Bear, because I'm grilling up dinner. Do you get it?
Yes, good job.
So, what should I do with all these coals?
Don't just toss them out. Put them in a metal container, because those embers can start a wildfire.
I understand. The stakes are high.
Ha, 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 ha.
Learn more at SmokeyBear.com.
Brought to you by the U.S. Forest Service, your state forester, and the Ad Council.
If I could be you.
And you could be me.
For just 1 hour.
If you could find a way.
To get inside.
Each other's mind.
Walk a mile in my shoes.
Walk a mile in my shoes.
Walk a mile in my shoes.
We've all felt left out. And for some, that feeling lasts more than a moment. We can change that. Learn how at belongingbeginswithus.org. Brought to you by the Ad Council.
Walk a mile in my shoes.
Sometimes I just cannot believe all the storms we've gone through here. I can only hope that we'll be able to leave this house to you one day, baby. You're our legacy.
Planning for these disasters will make sure we're safe, and is the best way to protect that legacy.
Protect your legacy. Visit ready.gov/plan for the tools and tips you need to start your emergency preparedness plan today. Brought to you by FEMA and the Ad Council.
The Civic Media Network of radio stations across Wisconsin. We are your hometown radio, refreshed.
I'm good. How are you?
I'm good, thanks. Not a truckload of news coming out of the state capitol this week, because they're into the nuts and bolts of cobbling together a state budget, probably with a heavy emphasis on the nuts rather than the bolts, based on what's coming out of there so far. So as to give folks an idea of where we're at here, the Joint Finance Committee, made up of people from the Assembly and Senate, are going kind of like department by department through the budget, or subject by subject. Mm-hmm. And so I wanted to ask about a couple of these things. One is kind of overarching, the paid family leave. It's something that the governor is proposing. It's something Governor Evers funds through the state budget surplus, so it's not like the money's not there. And yet Joint Finance took it out. And then when Democrats wanted to at least talk about it some more, they went so far as to shut off the microphone of one of the Democratic members, which I think might be, for everything else in the budget, might be one of the most emblematic things, features of this year's legislative session.
Yeah, I mean, we find ourselves in another subject area where Republicans are divided. They can't get their story straight. I will remind listeners that Tim Michaels, Republican candidate for governor against Tony Evers in the year 2022, was
not that long ago,
was for paid family leave. Mm-hmm. Said he was going to look at that as governor. And so it, you know, as out of step and radical as Tim Michaels was and is, Republicans in the legislature somehow managed to be even further towards the deep end, if not off of it. And when you, you know, listen, this is give and take, and it's politics and people make choices. And I don't think anybody expected Republicans to wake up one day and go, oh, yes, we're here, we're for all of this. But then to go even one step further and say we are not even going to study what the economic impact on Wisconsin might be if we were to do this, because that's what joint finance Democrats were asking for. Okay, you don't want to do this? How about we fund a study so that the next time we do this, we will have more information at our fingertips about whether this is a net positive for the state economy, a net positive for state workers. And that idea of studying and putting the facts on the table is what led to the microphone getting shut off. I mean, come on. It's just absurd. And I think people see that. So it's important they know what happened yesterday.
Yeah, I mean, it's Bush League. And you had River Falls Republican Shannon Zimmerman, at least allegedly he's from River Falls, who puts it this way. He says, paid family leave is just another way that taxpayers end up paying for those who don't want to work. Right up there in the Robin Voss category of saying that Medicaid equals welfare. And when these guys talk about how to address a labor shortage, what an amazing disconnect.
It's astonishing, and it leads to some – they just – the inconsistencies by Republicans are pretty jaw-dropping if you stare at them too long, right, of what government is for and what it's not. And they just hide behind this, you know, well, the government shouldn't be paying people not to work. But that's not what this is. This leads to healthier families. This leads to a more productive workforce. This leads to more dignity. The problem with, you know, as they see it, a worker shortage, it's not a worker shortage. It's a good job shortage, because CEOs and those at the top are trying to nickel and dime workers, and workers have other choices to make. So, you know, they can hide behind that, but they are not actually doing anything that will address this challenge long term, like investing in education, like investing in higher education. And so, you know, round and round we go. Where it ends, no one knows. But one of these days, they'll figure it out.
Well, or they won't, and we'll just continue to lose, you know, bodies to Minnesota and other states. And so, along those same notes, also from the Joint Finance Committee, Governor Tony Evers suggested a boost in tech school funding by about $66 million. Joint Finance, the Republicans there, cut that to about $9 million of an increase in general aid. Democratic Senator Kelda Royce called it crazy. You can't say you care about our workforce quantity shortage if we're providing such paltry funding to one of the most important economic engines of the state. Again, this is a group willing to give billions for Foxconn, but can't do things that are known, are proven entities for having a better workforce in this state.
Yeah, it's the inconsistency. I didn't realize I was setting this up so perfectly. But to say we have a worker shortage, and then to say we're not going to invest anything in preparing a workforce, this is what I mean when I talk about an ideological inconsistency. It's just words. The deeds are not there. The actions are not there. They have the ability to take this on and support our tech schools to get workers ready. And it's not like these are handouts, right? You got to pay to go to tech school, but those schools need support from the state. They always have. That's been the model. And rather than actually get serious about it, they're just going to continue to nickel and dime, even as we sit on a $7 billion surplus.
Well, and it takes us to our next subject there, and that deals with the potential for revamping the shared revenue formula. And now I have to say the potential, because what seemed to be broad agreement that the state needed to have an overhaul of how it shares revenue with state and local governments, looks like it may not even happen now, because Assembly Speaker Robin Voss took his ball and went home last week. And, you know, the Senate Republican leader said, well, we still want to work out a deal. And Governor Evers said, we should still work out a deal. But now it's not clear that it will, at a time when local units of government, you know, across the state are looking at this legislature and saying, come on, we've got services to provide here.
Yeah, listen, something will get done. I still believe that. I will remind everyone that taking your ball and going home and saying I'm done negotiating is in fact a negotiating tactic. So, you know, we've got a few more chapters to go here. I will just point out that, you know, it was Republicans who were singing hosannas and ready for the ticker tape parade the second Robin Voss said, hey, here's what we're going to do on shared revenue. Well, you know what? You're not a king, Mr. Voss. You don't get to snap your fingers and get everything you want. There is a give and take in the legislative process. And the fact that Senator LeMahieu, on the Senate side and the governor want to do more for municipalities, more is needed for municipalities, less control should be taken away from municipalities. This is going to get done. It's just going to be hairy for a little while. And I think in the end, the final product is not going to be good enough, but it'll be something.
Well, and now we move to one more topic in the Capitol that involves, again, Republicans fighting within themselves in the caucus. And it's on the state's 1849 abortion ban. And of course, there are many different facets to this, the legal challenges and whatnot. There are some Republican legislators who are proposing that you keep the ban in place, but you provide exceptions for rape and incest. But the bill to do that was referred, basically it was stuffed, I guess you could call it, in the way that the Senate Republican president, the committee that he gave it to, is chaired by somebody who is, I mean, so hostile to abortion rights that he has authored a bill, this is Andre Jock we're talking about in the Green Bay area, that would bar public officials from even promoting the idea of abortion. And this is not sitting well with Republicans like Mary Felskowski, who at least want the bill to have a discussion on whether there should be exemptions to the ban. Now, Joe, I think we're on the same page in that the ban shouldn't be there to begin with. But this inter-party fighting about, you know, whether to even have exemptions heard just tells you that these Republicans in the legislature are definitely not all in lockstep.
They are not. And listen, the nicest thing I can say on this issue is I don't envy Republicans because they are in a mess of their own making. That is, any way you slice it, really, really tough to get out of. You know, for 50 years, they created straw men arguments. And now they're like the dog that caught the car, to mix my metaphors. And they know it's bad politics. Their voters, many of them, and many of these lawmakers believe the things that they're saying, but it's really bad politics and they want to be in power to do things. And so this is not going to get solved in the next few weeks, not in the next few months. This is going to be a generational challenge for the Republican Party, including right here in Wisconsin. And at the end of the day, they're on the wrong side of it, full stop.
And it does mean, as we say often, because it's still true, this will be on the ballot every time. And it's only going to continue to boost turnout as more people want this resolved and brought back the way that they believe, which is essentially what was had under Roe v. Wade. So yep. If any Republicans have thought they could, you know, outlast this and just, you know, wait out the voters, guess again. Let's go to the federal level. I'm sorry. Go ahead.
Well, I was just going to say, I mean, Roe v. Wade was working, right? Mm-hmm. The number of abortions was decreasing in this country with the advent of additional forms of birth control, with increased access to health care. And so if that was the policy outcome that Republicans sought, was to ultimately get to zero, there was progress on that. And now they've shot themselves in the foot, except maybe a little higher up and closer to the center line.
Very much so. Let's turn to the federal level now in Congress. And of course, the talks continue to go on about the debt ceiling and the economic hostage taking that is going on there. But what I wanted to ask about specifically was about Congressman Brian Stile from Janesville, the Republican who apparently got a little too close to home for him in seeing what the group Opportunity Wisconsin was saying in his district about whether, you know, he is doing enough or is willing to allow, for example, the cap on insulin prices for Medicare recipients to go away and other things like that. He says they're wrong. And of course, I'm for lower insulin prices, but he's backed a bill that hasn't gone anywhere yet. So it almost seems like Congressman Stile made his problem a little worse by giving more attention to what should have been a one-day cycle of a group saying, could you not slash all of our programs, please, when trying to solve this debt ceiling matter?
Well, I think Mr. Stile is a smart enough politician to know that he's made some choices that are going to impact him and his political future going forward. And let's just look at the facts. The facts are, if you are a legislator, you are making choices. Mr. Stile had an opportunity to lower prescription drug costs and allow Medicare to negotiate using their bulk power. He chose to vote no. On the same bill, he had an option. He had an opportunity to choose to cap the cost of insulin at $35 a month for those on Medicare. He chose to vote no. Those are his choices. He doesn't want to defend them. So he's trying to say, well, actually, but the vote is the vote. And then when you spin it forward to this current fight over whether or not America is going to pay its bills, his choice was to vote for a bill that would cut services to veterans by 22%. Thousands and thousands and thousands of fewer visits to the VA for Wisconsin veterans would be available. That's the choice he made. If he doesn't like it, he should have made a different choice.
Green Bay is going to get the NFL draft in 2025. I just know we're way overdue to grab something completely off the board, not having anything to do with politics. And yet I'm not going to ask about the draft. Who are they going to pick? Is it going to be a boon for the economy? I've chosen to take it in a completely Wisconsin versus Mother Nature way. Is this thing going to go off without a hitch, or do we end up getting that really late tournament blizzard that comes in time just for it? In other words, did you feel good about Green Bay getting it, or is it one of those things of careful what you wish for?
I think it's great. I don't get the thing when it comes to the draft, the people who go out there and, you know, scream and holler at every draft pick. That's never been my particular brand of fandom. But hey, now that you mention it, a May snowstorm for the NFL draft would be awesome. What could possibly be more Green Bay? You know, these knuckleheads, you know, 12 adult beverages in, are going to be taking off their shirts and screaming and hooting and hollering. Bring it on. I've never wanted a May snowstorm before. I'm going to want one when the draft is held in May of 2025.
I love this so much. Joseph Becky, thanks so much. Have a great weekend.
Talk to you.
And we'll be right back. You're up north.
Turn your home into restricted airspace. Tell incoming flights you want them diverted. The new Raid Essentials Light Trap plugs into the wall and uses light to attract, then trap, flying insects like fruit flies and mosquitoes. Its 24/7 continuous attraction provides insecticide-free protection that's people and pet-friendly. Consider air service interrupted. New Raid Essentials Light Trap. Insecticide-free protection.
Votussel is building out the best fiber network in rural Wisconsin to deliver ultra-fast fiber internet where others can't or won't. Based in Wisconsin and backed by local support, Votussel is bringing fiber internet services to your area at an honest price without any contracts or data caps. Call 877-227-0924. That's 877-227-0924. Or visit btussel.com and get connected with Votussel today for internet, cellular, and entertainment.
Hello? I'm a Marine.
No matter how you served.
My buddies from the Army are all gone now. I'm really alone.
No matter what you're going through.
I keep getting calls about the bills, and I'm trying to get a job. I feel so stuck.
We are here for you. If you or a veteran in your life is experiencing thoughts of suicide, dial 988. then press 1 to reach the Veterans Crisis Line.
Here's your updated forecast. Ample sunshine expected today, with daytime highs approaching 63. East winds 8 to 15 miles an hour. Clear skies again. Tonight, lows dip down to about 39. High of 72. Tomorrow, clear skies and quiet. Temperatures above average Saturday and Sunday, with highs from the mid-70s to the upper 70s. Another look at the short range. We should top out around 63 today. For Civic Media, I'm meteorologist Ray Miller. Right now, it's 40.
This is Civic Media for the Fox Valley.
All right, if you didn't turn your radio up, I don't know what to do with you. As we play a little Tina Turner to bring us back in, Dr. Kristen Lierley is here as well, dressed exactly as Tina in the Proud Mary days. She's got the fringe, you know, coming off, the short skirt, the high heels, dancing in the office. Oh, wait, no, that's not. I'm sorry, I was looking at a different screen entirely. How are you?
Oh, that was me.
That's my soul right now doing exactly what you just said. I am spinning,
yeah,
and it's amazing. Oh. What an incredible loss.
How do you describe a life like hers, especially if you did it in a word? And the first word that comes to my mind is conquest. You know, she had to overcome so much, and she didn't just overcome. She conquered. She conquered music. She conquered, you know, escaping from a terrible relationship. As I said before, she still kept her wits about her. You know, I mean, how to be a diva in the best ways of the word, you know, and she had it all.
Yeah. Perseverance. Determination.
Mm-hmm.
There's not one word, because she was not like just one person.
Right.
She came from such abject poverty and a terrible family life. And then she got into a terrible relationship, but she always figured out how to get on stage and smile and project that unbelievable energy at the least likely times. Like, she was in her 40s when she had her big solo moments.
Right. Yeah. I mean, this is someone, you know, born Anna Mae Bullock in 1939, near Nutbush, which is near Memphis, sang in the choir at the church. Her parents split early on after working in different factories during World War II. You know, she saw Ike Turner in a club and, you know, amazed him by getting up and singing with this big voice out of this, you know, frail little body, as she put it, and went so much further than I'm sure she and her parents ever dreamed back in the day. But that kind of talent, you can't contain it. It's going to come out someplace. And we're so thankful it came out where it did, you know?
Oh, yeah. And she had a terrible relationship with her mother. Like, her mother never really liked her or approved of her. And she was always trying to prove something to herself. And in doing that, look at what she did for us. And look at what an inspiration she's provided for women for generations.
Mm-hmm. Without a doubt.
All right, Pat,
yes?
One thing you don't know.
What?
Tina Turner had a kidney transplant.
Really?
In 2017. There's your link to Hometown Health today.
Hey, Kristen, what are we talking about in Hometown Health today?
We're talking about a generous, incredibly wonderful person who just decided that she was going to give somebody her kidney, somebody who needed it.
So, like, somebody she didn't know?
Somebody she didn't know.
Wow.
Just, yeah, had been wanting to do something like this, had a friend who had done something similar, and marathoner, super fit person, mom,
wow,
physician, and she just, you know, she's just got that generous spirit, and she did this. So that was earlier this year. Since then, she's run a half marathon.
That's amazing. So Dr. Kara Scythe will be our guest. I want to ask her about that CBS sitcom Be Positive, which is kind of that similar, you know, somebody donating a kidney to a stranger, and see if her life became a sitcom while she was doing all this. All right, let's get to today's music break and history lesson. Born on this day in 1936, country singer Tom T. Hall, who gave us ditties like this one.
I love little country streams, sleep without dreams, Sunday school in May, and hay.
Remember this guy? He also gave us I Like Beer.
And I love you.
On this day in 1962, the soundtrack to West Side Story went to number one, set a record of 54 non-consecutive weeks at the top of the chart. Today in 1977 was the debut of the ultimate summer blockbuster, cue John Williams. To Aaron and this rather serious question. Aaron, the movie being what it was, if John Williams hadn't provided that score, would it still have been a big hit?
That's a difficult question. I think it would, but not as big. I think it might not still, it would still be as important for special effects because what they did was absolutely revolutionary in that regard, but I don't think it would have been quite as popular.
I tell you, just you never underestimate what a good or a bad, you know, score can do to a movie. Now, it was big for us. My little brother at the time was just huge into Star Wars. Kristen, what was it like at your household?
Well, we were girls and we did play some Star Wars.
You didn't want to be Princess Leia?
Not really.
No.
There were lots of jokes about like cinnamon buns on the side of your head.
Yes.
But yeah, it was the boys who had all the minifigures. But it was, you know, it was still such a huge part of our childhood.
Oh, without a doubt. The number one song this day in 1985 was from Wham.
Somebody told me.
And what this did with Everything She Wants is it made Wham the first group since the Bee Gees to score three number one hits from the same album. For Wham, the album was Make It Big. On this day in 1991, Michael Bolton had the number one album. Here's the title track from Time, Love, and Tenderness. Look, you can make all the Michael Bolton jokes that you want.
Okay.
If I could have a singing voice, man.
I was watching you like beep around
if I
there.
If I could belt something out like that, holy cow.
And the hair.
I don't know. I'm good with my hair. I don't mind my hair. A lot of people would like Michael Bolton's hair, but I'm okay. I would just take the voice. The Fugees topped the album chart on this day in 1996. From their second and final album, The Score, remaking this Roberta Flack chart topper. And you know, sometimes you hear a remake and you go, nope, I'm going to stick with the original. This was one of the opposite. You hear this one and go, yep, improved on it.
Miss Lauryn Hill, she just nailed it.
Mm-hmm. On this day in 2004, at the age of 19, Avril Lavigne released her second album, Under My Skin. It went on to sell 3 million copies, including the hit My Happy Ending. On this day in 2005, Carrie Underwood won season 4 of American Idol. Another one of those where you hear for the first time and you go, yep, yep, she's going places. Spoiler alert, she did. Also on this day in 2005, Garth Brooks proposed to Trisha Yearwood in front of thousands of fans at a show in California. They're still together. And on this day in 2011, Oprah Winfrey aired her last daytime show, ending a 25-year run. So a lot of things in the history books today. Kristen, you want to stick around between now and Hometown Health?
I would love to.
Oh, good. Okay. We're going to talk about holiday weekend plans, news headlines, and so much more in the second hour of Up North News Radio as we work our way in toward a Memorial Day weekend of fun and not sitting here at 6 in the morning for at least a couple days. We'll be back. You're up there.
At Ho-Chunk Gaming Acoustic, we're getting you ready for the hog days of summer. Giving away a brand new 2023 Harley-Davidson trike. Now through June 24th, go to Ho-Chunk Gaming Acoustic. Earn 25 points on your rewards club card to be entered to win. Plus, $10 rewards play up to 4 times a day. Stick around and use your rewards club card because we're heating up this summer with hourly hot seats happening from noon to 9 p.m. Clear your calendar and come in June 24th. We'll be giving away a 2023 Harley-Davidson trike along with 5 cash consolation winners. Roar into the summer at Ho-Chunk Gaming Acoustic.
It's time to shake things up around the house. This May, you may think it's time to make over.
Okay, you get the hint. With Ho-Chunk Gaming Acoustics' May Makeover promotion, you could win your share of $5,000 in gift cards to a home improvement store to tackle the project of your dreams. Guests only need to earn 25 points to earn your entry and $10 rewards play. Only at Ho-Chunk Gaming Acoustics, your place to play. For complete contest rules, see the Rewards Club booth at Ho-Chunk Gaming Acoustics. Must be 21 or older to participate and enter the casino floor.
You're listening to the Talk of Green Bay. WGBW 1590 AM Denmark. W250 CV Green Bay. And always streaming on the
ABC
Civic
News,
Media app.
I'm Lindsay Watts.